So they're saying that if you want to be creative in the new year, that's your goal for the new year, that you should spend every day writing a haiku. Yeah, which I was like, wait a minute. I don't think I've heard of a haiku thing since I was, what, in maybe seventh grade?
Well, you're not Japanese, right?
Also,
so it's not typically part of your everyday practice is what I'm guessing, but doesn't mean it's not a good idea.
Yeah, they're saying that writing just a little bit of poetry, no matter how short, creates a lot of creativity in your life. So, of course, I had to go on YouTube and find how to write a haiku because I certainly didn't remember. Here's a 15-second explanation.
A haiku is a short form of poetry from Japan. It consists of three lines and a total of 17 syllables. The first line has five syllables, the second line has seven, and the third line has five.
Easy enough, right?
Why does it sound like they got that guy from like the 1910s or something like that, and he happens to be playing upon a piano bar?
He's actually a puppet, and it's meant for young children.
Okay, yep. So that makes a lot more sense now. Okay.
All right, so 17 syllables, 5, 7, 5, three lines could be about anything you want.
Who's going to go first?
I will.
Okay, give me something very profound, please.
All right. Tomorrow is here. Drag yourself out of bed now. Time to crack some jokes. That I don't know if that was good. Was it good? Was it good? You didn't say anything.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I got to be honest. I expected something a little bit deeper. I'm sorry. Like a revelation that would come right after that. I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's the secret of life. Now I have it all figured out.
17 syllables. All right, let me hear yours.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Tree leaves fingerprints. Hands carry me up and up. Fall down. Hit head hard.
Are you just talking about what happened to you last night when you fell?
Just saying, it's like profound, you know, like I climbed a tree and, you know, all these things, and the rest is for interpretation.
Okay. See, mine are not like that. Mine are just like legit what's happening in my life. Ready? Let me do another one.
Okay. Let's go again. Let's go again.
Okay. Okay. I ate everything. The scale says 4 pounds gained will take year to lose. That's profound, deep, and accurate. Yeah, so accurate.
Sounds factual.
I mean, the 4 pounds that I gained in the last 2 weeks will take me the entire 2023 to lose.
All right. Here we go. I just want to interject and say everything that I read about haikus was, you know, take the first two lines and make them about something, and then make the third line about something almost completely different.
Well, you weren't listening to the puppets that specifically told you what to do.
And make it a, you know, like a cutting word, one that's definitive and gives kind of like an end. So with that in mind, hear my second one, which is Katy Perry would like me. Standing in idle line sweating, I'm under house arrest.
That makes no sense and frankly is alarming.
You'll be saying wow every time you use
this
towel.
This is my George Foreman feminized grill.
Call now. We'll give you a second set absolutely free.
I have no idea what we've gotten ourselves into at this point.
Yeah.
Amazon product reviews. We review the things that are trending so you don't have to waste your money and see if they actually work. So my husband has like really rough like feet, like dry, rough, yucky feet. So I saw on TV this ad for this thing called Babyfoot. And I was like, and everyone was swearing that you put this mask on your foot and then it peels off all the dead skin and it makes your feet really soft again.
So it's not like a foot spa thing where like they got the pumice stone on there or whatever that he rests his foot. This is just something he wraps his foot in.
Yeah. So okay. I bought it for him and I made it a stocking stuffer. Ironically, on Christmas Day, my sister bought one for me too. Now, does she think my feet are nasty? Possibly. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
Right.
So now we have two of these and we've decided that we're going to do them together to see if they work.
Okay.
Now, here's the instructions. It's called Baby Foot Exfoliation Foot Peel. I'm looking at some of the reviews on Amazon. Annie gave it 4 stars. She says, does this product work? Yes, I would buy it again. My husband of 13 years was going to leave me when he saw that my feet were peeling. Okay. What? That's why your husband was going to leave you? That's what you think?
That's the entire review?
Yeah. No. Then she goes on and she says, you know, make sure you don't see anybody while you're doing this. It's been 11 days since I did it and my feet are still peeling. It looks like I have some nasty disease, but technically it did the job at the bottom of my feet and they're baby soft. So it's supposed to make it. Did her husband leave her?
No. What I'm thinking is the feet were so bad before, and now for 13 days. I mean, that's nearly 2 weeks.
So what happened?
The foot has just been continuously peeling?
How it works is that you put this booty on your foot for an hour.
Yeah.
On both your feet. You let it soak in for an hour. Afterwards, you take it off and you wash it off. Then over the course of 2 weeks, your feet start magically peeling.
I mean, what is in this product that for 2 weeks your skin is going to be falling off your body?
So Louise writes, she gave it 3 stars, and she writes, I have dinosaur feet. I didn't always have them, but after returning from a trip 10 years ago, I began to notice my feet becoming really rough in spots. I went to a podiatrist, and she said I did not have fungus. So my days of scraping and moisturizing and wearing socks to bed because I was embarrassed that my husband would accidentally touch my feet during the night. Why is everybody so afraid of their husbands leaving them because of their feet?
I guess they are. They're upset about them.
So what you do is you put the booty on, and then every day it starts to peel, but it's supposed to be disgusting. Mm. So I was gung-ho. I'm like, yeah, great. My husband and I will do this together.
Well, you don't want to end up with dinosaur feet.
Right. Or my husband leaving me because of my feet.
Like, right.
Who knew that was a real thing? But then I saw a video on YouTube as I was trying to see, and here's this lady.
Unleashing my feet on camera. That's my sock.
That is so satisfying. It looks like a pile of Parmesan.
A pile of Parmesan cheese.
Okay, that's what she meant. All right, right.
Parmesan.
Parmesan. In English, like Parmesan, right.
But when she took the sock off her foot, Raven, it looked like grated cheese falling out everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
And then she goes on and says,
look, all new baby soft skin here. That's so impressive. Tips of the toes look quite interesting too.
Tips of the toes.
I mean, was she able to walk after that? Are they too sensitive because they're so baby soft?
There's so many
babies can't walk on asphalt. Just going to point out the obvious.
All right. So there's a lot of graphic photos. It makes me very alarmed. But I'm going to start this tonight with my husband. I will document my gross feet over the course of the next week and see how it goes. And I'll report back next week on if it actually worked and whether or not I even have feet anymore when this is all done.
Oh, my gosh. I wish you both luck.
Thank you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you.
What's that thing driving you crazy right now? 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Get it all off your chest. Terry.
If you let your dog bark all night, that's all I need to know about you.
I can't stand the person that just leaves the dog to bark and bark and bark. First off, the dog is trying to tell you something. So let the dog in or let the dog out or give the dog something to eat. Or give that dog to somebody else who will pay attention to that dog.
Are there dogs that just bark to bark? Who are you talking about? Are you talking about somebody that you know?
It's my neighbor.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I hear the dogs barking in my neighbor, but it's not all the time. And my dog only barks, like Raven said, when she's got to go out or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Are there dogs that just yap?
If you don't talk to your dog or train or socialize the dog, sure. There's dogs that, you know, somebody's walking by, they're going to bark. Somebody, you know, they hear a noise somewhere else, they're going to bark. If you're the person living in the house with the dog is talking to you. The dog doesn't write English. He's not going to send you a message through email or whatever. The dog is talking to you by barking. Listen to your dog.
Mm. Wanda, that's all I need to know about you.
If you keep saying new year, new me. New year, new me. That's all I need to know about you. You couldn't lose that 30 pounds last year, so what makes you think you're going to lose it this year?
Oh, that's mean. That is mean. All right, maybe this is the time when I'm really serious.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I could be really serious this time.
I wonder what percentage. So 1 year, Raven and I did this. We did a bit. Do you remember that we took everybody's New Year's resolutions?
Oh, gosh, yes.
And we said we were going to check in every few months. And we were going to see how everybody was doing and if anybody could actually succeed. We talked to 10 people and followed them through the course of the year. By the end of the year, only one person had succeeded in doing what they said they were going to do. Everybody else wouldn't even return our calls anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, that person beat cancer, I'm pretty sure, on top of it.
Yes.
So that was a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They were committed. All right. The other people, not so much.
No.
Hey, Michelle, that's all I need to know about you.
Look, if you step over someone in the grocery store that's like bending down to get something and you can't wait 2 seconds to get by them, that's all I need to know about you.
I'm with that. I feel like this is happening more than ever. I went to the grocery store a couple times over the last couple weeks with my wife, And it's amazing how rude people have actually become.
But I also think people take a lot more time. I feel like sometimes I'm standing there for an extended period and I feel awkward because how long am I going to wait for you to get out of the way so I can grab the saltines?
There might be some truth to that too.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now that my wife might be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, read faster. All right?
So long.
So I'm there with my wife. I didn't want to go shopping in the first place and I'm watching all this transpire. Imagine how like anxious I am while all this is going on.
Yeah.
You've seen this stuffing or dressing before.
Just
you know the
it.
One you want. Just put it in the cart.
Oh my, it's, yeah, and then sometimes like you see the item you need. It's literally right there. And I got to wait like 5 minutes for you and your husband to debate what kind of barbecue sauce you want. Like,
at the same time, if your armpit is rested on somebody's head as you reach over them, then that's wrong.
It's awkward. Staying at people's homes, like while you're visiting, it's one of those things that I never, ever want to do. And I was visiting my brother, his wife, and my nieces and nephew over the holidays, and we had stayed at a hotel. But our flight got canceled. You know, we kind of were stranded at that point. So my brother was like, no, you come stay with us tonight, because we couldn't get a flight out to the next day.
The airport floor is not a lot of fun when you've got a toddler on your shoulder.
Right, exactly.
Not so a good time.
Of course, like when you're in that situation, you're like, I'll sleep at your house. Of course, I'll take anything I can right now to get out of this airport. You know, and it's so great, but you forget what it's like to have to sleep at somebody's house and be a guest. And, you know, we had blow up mattresses and it was the worst. Like, it was like, I don't know, like producer John and Raven, like, I know we talked about this off the air, but like having a blow up mattress as an adult, it's got to be the worst night's sleep. And I don't care if it's the one that rises up and you tell me that it was bougie and it was like, you know, $500 or whatever. Like, it stinks to sleep on a blow up mattress.
And they never stay inflated. That's the real issue.
Well, like, that's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, every time I stay on one, and it's usually me and my son, if we're staying somewhere. So I'm on it with a 3-year-old who's constantly kicking me off, and I'm waking up every 4 hours to reinflate the thing, which then wakes him up, and then the noise scares him. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about this $300 one. Mine was $50 in two levels. The whole key is two people. You got to have one person on that thing. If you got one person on there, you're cool, because there's nobody to slide into you as you deflate slightly throughout the evening. Right?
You can just make a canyon
just
in the middle
you.
And you're good.
Just you. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, I mean, there are problems, obviously, with staying at people's houses. I had to do it over the holidays myself, too. And I've realized that there's a couple things that can make it great. I mean, first off, if you have two doors between you, two doors, not one, not just the bedroom door, but if you, like, have, like, your own wing.
Oh.
Oh, that's a big deal.
You talk about bougie. It's like, whose house is you going to that's got multiple
wings?
Two
doors. They had a door, and then they had a bathroom, and then there was another door into the bedroom.
Your own bathroom?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
Stop it.
You stayed in your own condo. That doesn't count as staying at somebody's house.
Well, here's the problem, though. There was only one problem, is that there was no thermostat.
Oh, so my gosh, how did you survive, Rick?
I didn't have my dedicated thermostat. So now I'm sweating, and I'm drying up throughout the evening, and furthermore, their ice machine started to go on the kaputs because there were so many people in the house. So now I had to go to bed with warm water and an over hot and dry room.
The hot is bad. If it was too cold, that's one thing. Being too hot, though, that can be a problem.
I was
freezing on the floor on my blow up mattress. It was so cold down there on the floor. Yeah, no, it's the worst.
Well, you stayed with family, though, which can make things either better or worse. Like, over the holiday season, my sister came, and she stayed at my mom's. Now, my mom and I live in the same town. My sister flew out from California.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you know, it's kind of my turf. It's kind of my territory. So the day after Christmas, we wake up. My mom texts me at like 7 o'clock in the morning. She's like, hey, come over with James, with my son, who's 3, and we're all going to have breakfast. I'm like, great, let's go. Get to my mom's house at 8 o'clock. And James starts playing. He starts doing all his 3-year-old things. My sister starts texting me from the other room. I'm so tired. Can you guys please be quiet?
No.
Guys, please be quiet.
The answer is no.
Guys, no, your nephew is 3 years old. He got all these new toys. He wants to play. He wants to make a lot of noise. Get over it. I don't care if you're jet lagged.
Right.
I blame grandma for that one. Grandma's like, come on over. It's 7 a.m.
My sister is 26 years old. She's not 20 anymore.
Yeah,
she's got a man up.
Get up. Get out of bed. I agree with you. It's hard enough to host people at your house for sleepovers and have guests. But sometimes being the guest isn't so easy either. What's the worst part about staying at somebody's house? 1-800-330-9999. Rebecca.
When you have to eat their food, you know, and like whatever they're making is just not good and you have to suffer through it.
One thing that I did have was an incredible breakfast. So good. The bacon was the thickest cut. I mean, I don't know if they killed the pig themselves or whatever, but it was amazing. My wife has this whole thing about cooked meats. She overcooks everything, you know, to make it safe in her mind or whatever. The wife in this house, she had two plates. One was well done for my wife, and the other one was like straight raw bacon.
Yeah.
It was crazy, and it was so good. I ate so much of that.
But what if it's nasty? I remember as a kid, one of the first times I went to my friend's house, her mom was making pasta fagioli. Now, you would think, as an Italian girl, that I would like love Italian like pasta fagioli. But I'd never eaten it before because for some reason it grossed me out.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget like the bowl in front of my face and not knowing what to do. It's awkward. And even as an adult, when you get served something that you really don't like,
yes,
you don't know how to react to it sometimes.
Mental note, my least favorite Italian dish
is pasta fagioli.
Yeah. Don't serve it to me, please. Thank you.
Put a little escarole in there and some prosciutto.
It's not my favorite.
Lou, what's the most awkward part about sleeping at somebody's house?
Well, the worst part is trying to time when to get up. If you're like, you know, you're sleeping downstairs and you don't know if everybody's getting up yet. You don't want to get up too early because then people think you're weird. Or, you know, you don't want to get up too late because then people are like, why you sleep in?
I feel like wherever I sleep, they always get up earlier than me. And
yeah, you have to kind of when you're the person hosting, right?
I feel like they always do, right? And if they didn't, I would think that it's probably because they're hiding and they want me to leave.
I think that the protocol should be you stay in your bed until you hear the host go downstairs, and that's your cue that you can now also get up. But you have to stay in bed until you hear action and movement downstairs.
What if I have to urinate?
No, you can go to the bathroom.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No one told you can't go to the bathroom.
What if they never get up? Should I call the police?
Eventually they'll get up. Yeah. Betty, what's the worst part about staying at someone's house?
Dirty showers. Whenever they are gross and nasty, that is just the absolute worst. And you just, like, you need shower shoes or something. Another. It's just nasty.
Like, what do people think when they don't, like, wash the soap off of the outside of the shampoo bottles and stuff like that, right? Mm. Like, you know when it gets all crusty down there in the corner?
I just don't like taking showers in other people's showers.
At all? Because you feel like it's feet to feet making out?
Not even that. It just it feels like an invasion of privacy, right? Doesn't it?
I mean, only if they got their drawers hanging over the side of it or something.
I don't know. Rick, what's the worst part about staying at somebody's house?
Oh, man, you got to sleep in that kid's bed or bedroom. You don't know what you're going to find.
It's kind of true. And it doesn't matter if they change the sheets or whatever.
Nah.
It still smells like a kid's bed.
Right.
Yeah, it may be the closet, under the bed, or just right there in front of you.
Yeah.
No, it smells like a kid with a half-eaten like cookie or cracker hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, when I was at my brother's house, he was like, oh, you can sleep in Taylor's bed. Taylor's my beautiful niece. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like she should have her bed. Like, there's no reason why I should be kicking her out of the bed. I'm like, I'll sleep on the blow-up mattress.
Kid is clean. I'll be like, yeah, I'll take that bed.
Oh, she's very clean. But I don't know. It's her bed. It also feels, like, uncomfortable because you know they're not happy about giving up their bed.
No, that's true.
So there's a theory that just popped up online about why men end up marrying certain women, even if they're clearly the wrong partner for them. And it makes a lot of sense. You ready for the lady on TikTok to explain it to you guys?
Please. Yeah. That's basically science nowadays.
The men were marrying the woman in front of them at the time that they were ready to get married, implying that that wasn't necessarily that man's soulmate or that man's love of his life. It was just the girl he was dating at the time he was ready to get married and settle down.
It does make a lot of sense because I think, like, I believe that my husband is my soulmate, right?
Mm-hmm.
My husband did not, we were young and he was not ready to get married. But I know my husband and I know that if I left it to him, he would never have been financially or emotionally ready to get married. So I had to force him, which many people have said is not the right thing to do.
It's very healthy.
But we've been married for 18 years. Things seem fine.
You feel like it worked out for you in this way. Yeah, I mean, gosh, I mean, how do you answer this thing without getting yourself in some serious trouble,
well,
right?
That's, exactly. So each of you represent a different point in life. Producer Sean is single and has been single his whole life. He's never been married.
Mm-hmm.
Producer John is recently divorced.
Right.
Raven, you're married.
Yeah.
So each of you.
Second marriage.
Second, right.
Right.
So, like, think about each time in your life when you made that decision. Let's start with Sean because Sean has never been married.
Well, he's never made that decision. Yeah. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know what he's going to tell us.
Do you think it's because you haven't found the right person or because you have not been emotionally and financially ready?
I think it's the right person thing. you know, I there's been some women I've been with where I'm like, oh, you know, I maybe could see like potential marriage, but down the line, you're like, yeah, no, it's just, it's not the right person.
But if you were financially secure and you were ready for the next point in your life, would you be like, eh, she's fine?
No.
Wait a minute. So you were engaged before, though, right?
I was.
And she was a scandalous bee.
Yep.
And that's why you didn't get married.
Mm-hmm.
She was scandalous.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to dredge it up, but, you know.
That was expensive. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
John, what
that.
Do you think?
You know, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to this, for sure. I'm not saying that that was what the situation was in my exact moment. Listen, out of the three of us, man, I'm the one who could get in the most trouble for this. But, yes, I think that there's a lot of validity to that, right? Because when you've got, when you're with someone for a certain amount of time, when you've got the ability to take that next step and finally shut your family up, who's been saying just like, well, when's it gonna happen? Are we gonna see any grandchildren? When you finally have that opportunity and you're happy enough, sure, why not pull the trigger, right? I mean,
why not? That sounds like that sounds like true love, right?
Not
sure, why
in
not?
My situation, but I can see
speaking
yes,
that's
absolutely yeah. There's a lot of truth to that.
Okay,
I think.
So Raven, you are divorced, and now you've been married to Alicia for many years.
Yeah.
So do you think that this has any validity to it?
It has a lot of validity.
Right.
I'll just say that is that once you decide in your mind that you're ready to, you know, have that secure situation, like you said, a stable situation, you know, the finances and all that, you want to prepare and like nest like before you have kids. It's kind of the same thing, but you're never truly prepared for anything. So when you feel like it's your time to settle down or whatever, then yeah, you pull that trigger. And hence, there's, you know, a lot of reasons that there's a lot of divorces out there.
Let's just say your ex-wife lit your car on fire, and you always talk about the fact that she was nuts. And like, it, obviously,
I mean, what was I thinking?
You were thinking, I'm ready to get married.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I got money in the bank and I want to have a family. That's what you were thinking.
Love the kid, wanted to put the whole unit together once. At that time. Didn't work out that time.
Right. So see, ladies, if you're looking for the guy that's ready to get married, you just got to look for the most boring guy at Home Depot that's got a wad of cash in his wallet and he'll be ready to go.
And then drag him to the altar like Anna did.
And then just, you know, just be so ready for that divorce 5 years later.
Oh, no.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday, small things you can do to make a big difference in your life. And if you're like most people across the country, you're sick. There's something wrong with you right now.
Yeah, I've had this sore throat thing going on for like a week and a half. And then, you know, I thought I was getting better. Yesterday I went to bed. I was like, no, I'm not even going to take any NyQuil or anything tonight. And I woke up at like midnight coughing my brains out.
You know,
it was terrible.
Raven and I were just talking about this off the air because I have a cold right now, too. I'm all stuffed up. I've got the cough. I mean, we're trying to hide it as best we can. Trust me. But this past year, I've been sick so many times. Like, I've had stomach bugs, like, 3 times.
Yeah.
The fact that I can even go to work and I can function, like, I'll take this over those flus that are going around like crazy right now.
You know what I love is, like, at least we're just sick right now. Everybody's got a cold or they're just sick. There's
right.
no talk about it being, you know, part of some greater evil plan or whatever. And a lot of people would say, listen, this is what happens when you use sanitizer for 2 years, right?
I don't know. We can argue that
Who
all
knows?
Day. Who knows?
Who knows?
But anyway, there's a good chance your nose is probably running. You have a cough. So there's been a hack on TikTok right now to clear stuffy noses that has gone completely viral. And there's two different doctors here explaining how to do it. I guess the main point is the same, but they're a little bit different. Here's the first guy.
Feeling stuffy?
Yum.
I'm a chiro. I'll show how to unblock it. Grab your nose and pull it. Thumb goes inside cheekbone and push it. I'm a chiro.
Wait a minute. Is he a chiropractor?
I think so.
This is why a lot of times people say chiropractors aren't real doctors, because why are you rapping over this thing?
It's TikTok. Everybody does that.
Okay.
You don't spend enough time on TikTok, Raven. Trust me.
It's true. It's true. I don't.
There's surgeons that rap that have like 14 million followers.
You know what? Maybe it's the thing now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the thing.
So anyway, what he's saying to do is to take your nose, right?
Yeah.
Push it to one side.
Yeah.
And then you take your thumb. And this is the big thing that everyone is consistent. Take your thumb. You push your nose to one side.
Yeah.
Put your thumb in your cheekbone.
I mean, you look ridiculous.
Push.
But okay.
Do you want to breathe?
You look like you're popping a zit in the corner of your nose.
Do you want to breathe?
I mean, if that's how to breathe, do I have to walk around like that?
Well, no.
Am I supposed to hold my face like that?
I believe it's like 20 seconds. So you push your nose to one side and then you take your thumb and you push it into your cheek. And very similar is this other doctor explaining it.
take your right thumb, put it underneath the cheekbone. You're going to push in and out. Take your other hand, contact the lower part of the ear. Pull it straight out. Hold it there 10 seconds. Good. Just keep holding it there.
Holding my ear?
You'll feel that left sinus open up.
So this guy, it's the same thing about pressing your thumb into your cheekbone,
yeah,
but pulling the ear. So one guy wants you to pull your ear and push your thumb into the cheekbone. The other guy wants you to do the nose thing.
I mean, I'm getting a little more clear if I push the cheekbone and pull the ear.
Yeah.
But I mean, my nose is still stuffy. It's not like it's solved the problem or anything like that.
Everybody is sick, stuffy noses. And one of the hacks that's been trending on TikTok is to take your thumb, push in your cheekbone, and then pull your earlobe. Does it work? We don't know. But what's your hack for stuffy noses? 1-800-330-9999. Deborah.
I live with a holistic person, and peppermint essential oils, 3 dots. You just touch lower above your lip, and it clears your nose out, like, immediately.
And I think peppermint, I think, is magic because it also helps you go to the bathroom. Like, after I had my C-section, they wouldn't let me leave until I went to the bathroom. And again, if you don't do it within 24 hours, they recatheter you. This is way too much information for you, Raven.
I mean, why are we sharing this right now? We're talking about clearing noses.
Yes, but it also works. They used it in the hospital to help me, and it worked there, too.
I mean, you both sound like a couple carnival barkers right now to me, right now. It's snake oil.
No, I'm telling you, I am like you, Raven. It worked for me. And on the temples, if you have a headache, you put it on the temples and it clears. I mean, you have to watch. Don't get it close to your eyes, but
right,
it really
right,
clears
you'll
it out.
Right, you'll go blind if you get it in your eyes, but I mean, it will take care of your headache. Right?
Yeah. thank
for
you.
The call.
Peppermint is magic. We have to just smear it all over our bodies.
I mean, it's the same thing as putting Vicks on. I don't know that that's some sort of hack.
No, I think that's a real thing.
Charlie, what's your clearing the stuffy nose hack?
I just turned you on. I heard some of the others, but listen, this one, I've been doing this one forever. You take your thumb and you go behind your head and your neck and you press the tips of your thumbs kind of firmly into like the base of your skull where it meets your neck. Kind of like if you can find a divot back there on both sides and lean your head back. And it'll, like you said, I don't think it'll cure you per se, but it really helps.
It does relieve temporary pressure. Yeah, this is something that actually, you know, I've messed with that since I had a sinus balloon plasty or whatever the heck it was that I had. Mm-hmm. And I noticed after when I was recovering, like all the different spots that I kind of felt it.
Uh-huh.
And now I do that same thing. Like I do that above the eyebrows. Like I'll touch there.
Oh, so that works, but the peppermint doesn't?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that none of them cure it. Like 5 minutes later, you're like, ugh. But you know, you can sit there and you can rub it. Thanks, Charlie. Yeah.
Stuffy nose hack. What do you have, Jonathan?
Well, I take my tongue and I jam it to the roof of my mouth. And then I take my fingers and I push between my eyebrows and push my eyebrows together. Works every time.
What? How can it work every time? It sounds like you're just distracting your nose for a minute. Like, I feel like it's going to come back.
I'm doing it right now.
Look at you.
I don't know if I can breathe better.
Yeah, you sound great.
No, there's definitely air going in my nose. There's definitely air going in my mouth.
No, but then he starts running again. I don't know if I waited a full 20 seconds. All right, let's see. Brandy, what's your stuffy nose hack?
Okay, so what I do is I chop up an onion and I breathe it in for about 5 minutes.
Oh.
I mean, I get that anything like that is going to open up your passages, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, horseradish, something spicy, wasabi, anything like that. But I just feel like, you know, 5 minutes later, you're right back at it, right?
It works, actually. I feel like it clears it out.
Maybe we don't know. We can't knock it till you try it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to try it, so.
I'll try it.
I'll just give you the benefit of the doubt. Think about onions. I don't like them right in my face.
I always know that I'm really sick if I'm making pasta and I can't smell the garlic. If I can't smell the garlic, I know I'm in trouble. That's how I know. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Today, Southwest. And you've probably been hearing about all the problems that Southwest Airlines has been having over the course of the last 10 days or so. Mm. They canceled over 16,000 flights, leaving unprecedented amounts of people stranded all over the country. Now they're trying to get back on track.
But now they're also dealing with all the stranded luggage that's just strewn all over airports, which is insane to me.
It's just a mess.
Yeah, you know, so I was not flying Southwest. I was flying American, and my flight was canceled, too, during the same period.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't know until it happened to me was, like, you check your luggage, and you're waiting for your flight, and then they cancel your flight. You don't get your luggage back. So I didn't know that. So I was like, wait a minute. Now I'm stuck here for another 36 hours. I have to go take my family. I got to find somewhere for us to sleep. And we don't even have our luggage. All we have is the clothes on our back and our carry-on. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't aware of that until you're telling me right now,
isn't
too.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was like, where do we get our luggage? They're like, no, it'll already go somewhere. I'm like, what?
So wait a minute. By policy, that's the way it is with all flights?
I assume that's what happened. They were like, yeah, no, when you get to your destination, your stuff will be there. And I was like, what? My luggage managed to make it to my final destination like a day and a half before I did.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I guess it leaves on another plane. It leaves on some sort of cargo plane or
isn't
something.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I had no idea. So we had just bought a Build-A-Bear, right? And
yeah.
If you ever did a Build-A-Bear with your kids, they can put tracking devices in them. So if your kid ever loses
it. So it was in the suitcase.
What an idiot. It was in the suitcase, but yeah. I didn't register it because my husband started in my ear about China.
Right.
Oh, now we're going to register where the baby goes with the Build-A-Bear? I'm like, we could have known where we were. Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah. So this is Southwest CEO Robert Jordan talking about why there were so many problems with all these canceled flights.
The storm had an impact, but we had impacts beyond the storm that obviously impacted Southwest very differently. It really was the scope of the problems attempting to be solved, just to move crews around, keep the airline moving. We have regular operations. Those tools and processes serve us well, but this is something that we have really never seen in our 51 years.
It was a mess.
Oh, as a passenger, I'd be like, stop talking.
Well, exactly.
None of that helps me whatsoever, and you're just giving me word salad.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Well, on top of it, I'm trying to figure out, is this adding insult to injury,
yeah,
or is this like a way for them to try to make things better? And the reason why they're trending again today is because they're offering 25,000 gift points, which is worth about $300,
mm-hmm,
in addition to the reimbursements and refunds of all the flights. So that's kind of what they did over the last 24 hours to make people feel better.
I mean, unless you're taking a puddle jump, though, $300 airfare today isn't a lot. The costs are up right now on airfare,
well,
and that's not going to get you anywhere.
Well, right. So you get your money back if you didn't get on a flight.
Well, I mean,
right?
Great, but where's my compensation?
Then what do you do on top of that? I was like, I don't know if I would want that. I don't know if that's it. So my flight was canceled. I'm trying to battle with American Airlines with it. I'm not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't. If I was offered that to me right now, would I be happy with that? I mean, I guess, but I got my luggage back and I got home. How about all these people that couldn't do that? Well, they're taking it very seriously, and this is the Department of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, talking about it.
We will penalize Southwest as we would any airline, to the tune potentially of tens of thousands of dollars per violation if they fail to meet what is required of them to take care of passengers.
So I guess the question is, what is that? What are they required to do?
Are you just telling me that Southwest is going to be closed tomorrow? Because at that point, that's kind of what it sounds like.
I know. I guess we wait and we see.
Yeah.
So a doctor says that people keep forgetting to wash 5 of their body parts and it's causing a real problem. Men are more likely to not wash these body parts. And
wait a minute.
Yeah.
What is the definition of causing a problem as far as, like, there's stinky people out there?
Fungus.
There's a terrible fungus or a bacteria that's growing,
yes,
amongst us.
Yep, that's it. It's
okay.
The fungus. It's the fungus and the bacteria and the overall smelliness.
Okay.
And I was listening because I was like, ew, guys are so gross. Why don't they just wash themselves? And then I was listening and I was like, oh, I'm so guilty of these myself.
Okay.
I shouldn't be pointing fingers. Ready?
5 body parts you are not washing enough are, number 1, your belly button. That's right. A lot of people don't wash their belly button at all.
I've never told this story on the air because it's really embarrassing, but I'm going to say it right now. When I was in my mid-20s, I kept feeling something in my belly button, and I thought something was wrong with me. So I went to go see my doctor about it, and she was, like, dumbfounded. She, like, couldn't understand what it was. I have such a deep belly button that the lint...
Yeah.
Actually, like, hardened in there to the point where I would wash it, it wouldn't come out. It was so deep.
It was like a lint stone.
She had to go in with tweezers. Isn't it disgusting? And had to pull it out with tweezers out of my belly button. Sometimes, like, you just kind of do like a little, like, you know, you clean like a little bit.
Sure.
You got to go deep in there. You got to get a Q-tip sometimes to clean out your belly button.
How often do you have to go to have your lint changed for your belly button? Is it often?
No, now that I'm aware that it's a problem that I have, that I'm really,
it's
really
a problem spot.
Yeah, so I clean it very thoroughly. But every once in a while, I panic and I go into my pinky just to make sure. So disgusting. I can't believe I just told that. It's true, though. Yeah. Well, I mean, check.
Get
you
in there.
Check. You don't know.
Check that crevice. Mine's clean. I know mine's clean.
Well, we should take a look. All right. Next.
Number two is behind the ears.
There's a test that you can do to check behind your ears. I know what you're thinking. I clean behind my ears. But if you take your finger and you rub right behind your earlobe really, really deep and you smell it, if it smells at all gross, it means you're not washing
funky.
It. And you'd be surprised by how many times it is. I've noticed that I don't take out my earrings very often. I just have studs on. I leave them on all the time.
Yeah.
Ladies, if you ever take out your studs and smell them, it is the most nastiest thing in the world. Like, a doctor told me you're supposed to be taking them out at least every 3 days to clean them. And I was like, oh, I definitely haven't taken mine out in like 6 months.
I don't wear any more earrings at this point, and I loofah everywhere. Okay. Everywhere.
The next thing is making sure that you wash or rather scrub underneath your fingernails. Uh-huh. This is where a lot of dirt and grossness gets trapped, our fingernails.
I clean my fingernails.
That's an easy one. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know you have to scrub under your nails. Come on.
You see it. Actually, if you have a bar of soap, you can just take your nails and push it inside the bar of soap, and all that grime comes right out.
Ooh.
Yep.
Number four, our legs. Yeah, I want you to actually wash your legs. I'm not talking about letting that soap run down your legs in the shower. I'm talking about washing.
I disagree with that one.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. You've done that. You've had this argument with me several times before. I scrub my legs, back of the knees, everything.
I know. Unless I'm shaving my legs. I mean, there's plenty of soap on top that washes down to the bottom. They're fine. Like, I don't know why your calves are so dirty.
When you drive through a car wash, all right, and it's got those spinny things, right? It spits soap all over the car.
Yeah.
The spinny things, do they just stay up near your windows? No, they go the whole length of the side of the car.
Have you been working on that for years?
That's
waiting
where
for
the
this
dirt
to come
is.
Back up.
That's where the dirt is.
Gosh.
And number five, your toes, okay? Get in between those toes. Make sure you're washing them.
I actually don't go in between my toes that often.
Well, you don't touch your legs. So how can you ever get near your toes?
It's true. I don't go further south enough. Yeah.
Man.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Dominic and Gina. Gina, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
Hey, so I've been married, love my husband, love my family and everything, but me and my stepdaughter, we just do not get along. You know, it's been a while. It's been 10 years this year for Christmas. She, like, didn't get me anything and, you know, was kind of smug about it and was like, oh, well, I forgot you. So sorry. And she just does things that are just so antagonistic to where I'm just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done trying to be your friend. I'm done trying to support you. I'm done trying to, you know, do anything nice for you. We work too hard for you to have such a stank attitude towards me when I've done nothing to her. So I'm just done with it. I don't want to support her or anything. I want to basically cut her off. That's it.
By cut her off, you mean cut her off financially or just cut her
yes,
off?
Yes, cut her off financially. Absolutely. She can fend for herself.
Dominic, what are the things that you and Gina still pay to support your daughter?
Basically everything. You know, we still pay her car insurance, you know, any cell phone bills, anything educational like that. We still are able to take care of that. I just think she's at a point where she's an adult, but I think eventually she's going to come into the adult she's going to be. So I feel like we got to take care of her in transition.
How old is she?
She is 19.
I mean, I have to assume that you've had a conversation with your daughter about this behavior, right? And about the way that she interacts with your wife?
Yeah. I think it's a little messed up, but I feel like she's still growing into the person she's going to be. I feel like, you know, I feel like it's changed down the end of the line. It may not change right now, but I still have faith.
You have faith? I call that BS. I'm sorry. I'm just calling it, like, she's 19. 10 years of me trying to support her and love her, and yet she still acts like I just ruined her world every day, all day. No, I'm sorry. I'm just done. I am done.
Gina, I mean, I certainly see, like, it's hurtful, and no question, and it causes problems inside the house, and how long is this really going to go on? On the other hand, obviously, a 19-year-old still has a whole lot of growing up to do, but if you allow her to do this, Dominic, and get away with this at this point for this time, like, when's that going to happen? Some people grow up at 40. Some people grow up at 50. Some people never grow up. And even then, who wants to wait that long? That is difficult. I feel like you have to be doing something about it right now. I just don't know if pulling all the money is the right move.
No, I think we can do stuff more of a mental health side rather than showing her by taking all the financial things away. I think it would be showing her the wrong action, because I'm definitely a family-oriented person, but I'm sorry my wife has to go deal with that. I disagree with some of the things she has to deal with when it comes to our daughter.
All right, well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you. Maybe hard love isn't the way to go about it. Maybe being more sympathetic and trying to figure out the root of the problem is the way to go, even though it sounds like, Gina, you've already been down that road. And you may see Gina's side. At this point, that's it. You're not going to keep working and paying for her bills when she's 19 years old and cracking jokes about not buying you a Christmas present.
Absolutely not.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
At what point do you cut off your stepdaughter for being way too disrespectful? Gina's had it. She said on Christmas, she purposely didn't get her a gift. Purposely did not get her a gift and then was smug and made jokes about it. She says, she has been disrespectful for me for a decade now. We're going to stop paying for her school. We're going to stop paying for her cell phone. We're going to stop paying for her card. That's it.
You know, at 19 years old, that's a lot to think about for your teenage daughter. I'm sure that that's a lot for Dominic to absorb. On the other hand, like, it's very difficult to deal with somebody being defiant, but also being smug and arrogant about it and angry about it and kind of rubbing your face in it. And, you know, who wants to live that way in your household, right? Somebody has to learn a lesson here one way or the other. So what is the correction that changes the behavior? I don't know, but it's a problem. And Gina's got a valid reason to be upset.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Eileen.
Gina's. Well, I have 18 and 19-year-old children, and I know that they tend to be self-absorbed and self-centered, but they do have to learn responsibility and accountability. And I think that at 19 years old, you know, it's a sign of respect. She should have been respectful for her stepmother, because it is, she's there for her.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. At what age do you cut off your children for being disrespectful? That's what Gina and Dominic are disagreeing. Gina said her stepdaughter, 19 years old, is so disrespectful for her. Didn't even get her a Christmas gift and then made a joke about it.
Listen, it's not the end of the world if a 19-year-old doesn't give you a Christmas gift, but it's something else when somebody's rubbing it in your face. And she's been her stepmom for 10 years. She says this is the nature of their relationship since day one.
But Dominic says it's the way she is. Just let her be. She'll eventually grow out of it. What do you think? Would you cut her off? 1-800-330-9999. Jennifer.
Definitely on the wife side. The dad needs to lay down the law, in a sense, because if they've been together for 10 years already, she needs to start to show her stepmother some type of respect, since she's not just a woman that's coming in and out of her life. As a father, he needs to tell his daughter, like, to respect her, and you can't just let her run amok and do whatever she wants and disrespect your wife. You're not being the man that you should be.
Hey, Carol, whose side are you on today?
I agree with the wife. I think it's very disrespectful that a 19-year-old could treat her like that and the father's letting her get away with it. However, I don't feel you should cut her off altogether. Make baby steps, a little bit of time. Let her be responsible for her own self. And I think they should have a family sit-down meeting and talk to her and find out why she's treating this lady the way she's treating her.
I think cutting off that cell phone is a big first step, because once you lose that cell phone and those rights and that ability, that's an awakening right there.
The big thing for me is what conversations have taken place up until this point.
I mean, I'm sure there have been. There has to have been.
Yeah, but it had to be stronger, obviously. Right. It's been ineffective.
Hey, Emily, what do you think?
I'm on the wife side. Absolutely. At 19, I was working my way through college. Granted, I lived at home, but I was in college, working full-time, and I paid my own insurance and everything. So there's no reason she couldn't.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Gina, our audience agreed with you today. At this point, it's not fair that you're going to keep working and footing her bills when she's not showing you any respect. She's an adult. And Dominic, you have to be able to say to your daughter, listen, the way you've been acted is unacceptable. And because of that, these are the consequences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I just want her to be a better person in life. And this kind of behavior isn't good for not just for me, but to walk in life in that kind of energy. And I just can't do it anymore. And why should I support it financially? Absolutely not.
Dominic, you'd be cool having that conversation with your daughter?
I think so. I think this conversation with everybody brought this to the forefront. And we gotta create some changes, you know, so my wife can feel respected and a part of the family, and that my daughter can at least be cordial, you know.
Yeah, she has to be a grown-up. She's going to deal with people all the time out there in the world that she might not be happy with or what their position is or whatever. But that's not all up to her. So
yeah. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,600 today. Kristen, you ready to play?
I sure am.
All right, I'd love to give you this money. Have you be the first winner of the new year. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Kristen.
All right, these questions are tricky. But here's the thing, is that the right person can certainly take them down. You ready to go?
Absolutely.
All right, five questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Let's do it. Number one, Millie Bobby Brown called her boyfriend Jake her partner for life. Jake is the son of what famous New Jersey rocker?
Bobby Brown.
Number two, Taylor Swift's cat, Olivia Benson, is number three on the list of the most rich pets with an estimated worth of $97 million. Her cat was named after a character from what show?
Oh, gosh.
That's time. Number three, Prince Harry, in a teaser to his interview with Anderson Cooper, says he'll never return to being a working royal. He's promoting his memoir. What's it called?
Harry and Meghan.
Number four, the Hanson brothers were photographed on Christmas with all their families, and there were 39 of them total. How many brothers were in the Hanson band?
Five.
And number five, Angelina Jolie was spotted at a London cafe with Irish actor Paul Mescal. He's 26, she's 47. Angelina and her daughter Shiloh had just seen Paul perform in a local production of A Streetcar Named Desire. Who wrote A Streetcar Named Desire?
Oh gosh, I should know this.
That's time, Kristen. Let me bring Raven back in.
Sorry.
It's okay. That's okay.
Yo.
Not one for Kristen.
Wow. Not good, Kristen. Let's see how I do. $1,600.
Number one, Millie Bobby Brown called her boyfriend Jake her partner for life. Jake is the son of what famous New Jersey rocker?
It's Bon Jovi's kid.
Yes. Number two, Taylor Swift's cat, Olivia Benson, is number three on the list of the most rich pets in the world with an estimated worth of $97 million.
Wow.
Her cat was named after a character from what show?
Law & Order, SVU.
That's right, Olivia Benson. Also, the number one spot goes to a viral cat named Nala that has 4 million followers on Instagram.
There used to be a German Shepherd that owned a mansion in Miami.
Yeah, he's number two on the list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He doesn't have to work. He doesn't have to post anything.
Number three, Prince Harry, in a teaser to his interview with Anderson Cooper, says he'll never return to being a working royal. He's promoting his memoir. What's it called?
It's going to be called Spare, right?
Yes. Number four, the Hanson brothers were photographed on Christmas with all their families, and there were 39 of them total.
Wow.
How many brothers were in the Hanson band?
It's either three or four. I'm going to say three.
Three is right.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, I still love them. I mean, you saw the TGIF video with Katy Perry, right? They're the backing band in that video. It's so much fun.
I would like a resurgence of the Hanson.
They're still making money.
Yeah. Number five, Angelina Jolie was spotted at a London cafe with Irish actor Paul Mescal. He's 26. She's 47. Angelina and her daughter Shiloh had just seen Paul perform a local production of A Streetcar Named Desire.
Mm.
Who wrote A Streetcar Named Desire?
Stephen King.
No.
Agatha Christie.
No.
Danielle Steele.
No.
Tennessee
Williams.
That was my next guess.
It was not. Kristen, he beat you 4-0 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
It's Kristen and I can't beat Raven next time.
Better luck next time. You'll need it. $1,700 tomorrow, Anna.